it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello, I'm Vaughan Bennis, and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons, the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia. This week we hear part two of my conversation with Lee Kumutat, who is an Australian journalist living in the UK. Lee, most people who've heard disability-related programs from the BBC, such as Ouch or In Touch, would know of your involvement with those. How did you get started with that?
Well, I mean, this is where I got incredibly lucky. When I did come to the UK, I started to study journalism, and a friend of mine said, oh, you should get in touch with Peter White. Now, I had heard of Peter White over the years, sort of in a very vague way, you know, blind journalist does radio. And I remember thinking, yeah, you know, whatever, that doesn't really grab me. And apparently this friend of mine, against my wishes, said to Peter White, you know, there's this blind Australian woman kicking around London. You know, would you be interested in interviewing her? And he said, oh, yeah, okay, tell her to give me a call. And I thought, all right, well, if Peter White wants to interview me about my time in London and what I think of it and the attitudes of British people towards blindness versus Australians towards blindness, you know, I can probably do that for him. Very arrogant of me, really. Anyway, so I did, and I contacted him, and I went and did the interview, and we got chatting, and he said, it's really interesting that you have found, for example, the London Underground, just as we were talking, really useful. Would you be interested in making a piece on that for us? And I thought, okay, yeah, I could probably do that. I could cobble something together. I'd never done any radio in my life. I'd never been interested in it. Had sort of dissed it, really, because I sort of thought, well, you know, it's pretty obvious that's what blind people are going to do. Little did I know, Vaughan, before you jump down my throat for saying that, little did I know the absolute intricacies of it and the difficult stuff that you have to do just to get stuff on air. So I apologize for that particular. Yeah, you know, it was extremely naive. Anyway, and then they said, well, if you'd like to go away and make this piece, we'll put you in touch with Gary O'Donoghue, who at the time was a blind political correspondent here, and you know, he can be a bit of a mentor. And I just started to make pieces and meet other blind journalists who were doing what I never really thought I could do. I mean, I'd known Graham Downey, who worked as a print journalist for many years at the Canberra Times. And lovely Elaine, who worked in Tasmania at the ABC. And, of course, there's Anastasia Campanella now who's doing stuff on Triple J and various bits and pieces. But it really never seemed to be a pathway that was open to me. And here I was mixing with all of these wonderful people, Damon Rose from Out, you know, Emma Tracy from Out. One of my friends, Manny Jasmi, he's a blind sports reporter. He works on world football. And that was just absolutely amazing to me. And I thought, well, you know, maybe there is a place for me to do this stuff. So, and that's where it sort of started from. So Peter White has been an incredible role model for me. I've been very, very lucky. Most of the stuff that I've done has been for Radio 4, which I think it's fair to say is the world's premier speech radio station network, and the stuff that it produces. So, you know, I being a total novice and sitting in the cubicle watching Peter White look like it was a walk in the park, and obviously he'd been doing it for 40 years at that time, but it was a tall order for them to say, right, can you go away and make, you know, give us a two-way on the governmental changes to the benefit system, and then, you know, kind of come back and actually, you know, put that together, totally conscious of my Australian accent with all these posh, you know, UK accents, and not feel completely overwhelmed by it. And I did. I mean, I absolutely did. I would have butterflies for days, but it has got easier over time. And, you know, Radio 4 isn't that scary after all. They probably wouldn't want me saying that, but it's true.
Certainly, historically, the view has always been that that the BBC's have been a pretty scary place, but they are broadening significantly. Even since I've been doing radio the last 20 years, listening to the BBC, the accents have changed, the people have changed, and the programming that they put together has changed, but it's still extremely high quality.
It's still extremely high quality, and some would say extremely highbrow. I remember the first ever job interview I went for, because I haven't actually ever had a job at the BBC up to about a year ago when I got a 6-month contract, which has been extended and extended. But I've been doing all my stuff freelance. And my first ever job interview, I thought I would be really proactive. It was for an assistant producer role, and that's very much behind the scenes and setting things up and booking guests and writing briefs and all that sort of stuff and briefing presenters. And I thought I would show myself as proactive by asking the question, you know, would there be a chance of getting on air, thinking that's very proactive. Little did I know at the time that everybody wants to be on air. Actually, I'm quite happy not to be on air. I'm quite happy being behind the scenes and pushing the buttons. Thank you very much.
You and me both.
Yep, exactly. It's the place to be. We are the ones in control, aren't we, Vaughn? So I asked this very proactive question, and one of the interviewers, who will remain nameless because I do have some contact with him, in fact, he's a very powerful man, said in his very northern accent, it's fair to say, well, we have to be quite careful about the accents we allow on Radio 4. And I thought, are you seriously saying that to me in an interview? Like, hello, you're not going to discriminate against me because of my blindness, but you might.
Because of your accent.
My Australian accent. You're joking, and you're from Leicester. Come on. So, you know, there has been that kind of lingering sense that, you know, you have to be of a certain, shall we say, well, class, really, to be on Radio 4. But I think you're right, Vaughan. I think they are broadening that out. They're looking to engage with a younger audience a lot more. And so my Australian accent seems to pass muster now.
And I think the same has happened here, but I think it happened further back in time because Australia being a newer country, of course.
I think that there is some great stuff coming out of Radio National now. You know, so I think you're right. I think Australia in lots of ways, you know, leads the vanguard, but, you know, it might have a little bit of catching up to do in other respects.
Mm. And particularly in regard to employing people with disabilities. As you said before, there are a couple of blind people, but they certainly don't hold the prominence that that blind people seem to have, particularly in the UK, with regard to radio journalism.
Yeah, and I don't really know why that is, why there are so many blind people. I mean, I do think that journalism is something that blind people can do quite easily. You know, it's writing, it's speaking, it's communicating, which, generally speaking, broad sweeping generalization, is something that, you know, most blind people can do. So there isn't really any reason why there seems to be a difficulty at entry level for blind people to get into journalism. And I haven't quite worked out why there are so many of them kicking around in the UK. I know that there have been some hard fought battles by some of them in order to get where they are. And some of those have involved bringing discrimination cases against big organizations because of things like not getting on air and basically not having the same opportunities. So I don't think it's something that has come easily. And, you know, the BBC has said itself something like 6% of its staff should have disabilities by, I think, 2020. Don't quote me on that. That might be not quite right. But they are way off that target, and they're desperately trying to do something about that. So, you know, it is a good place to be, and it would be nice to see those opportunities, you know, opening up to people in Australia. And it is interesting, given that, you know, with social media and the rise of blogging and vlogging and all of those things, that you know, we are all seen as the world's journalists. We could all be journalists if we wanted to be in our own rights, and to some extent are. You know, if you're posting anything on social media. One could argue that, broadly speaking, that is some form of journalism, because there's generally some kind of analysis going on, or some kind of observation. So hopefully, as journalism changes and becomes much more about personal observations, then maybe, you know, those opportunities will open up. I also think that part of the problem has been the high entry level academic achievement, you know, required to get into basic journalism media courses at university. And I fail to see why it has to be so high. Whether it's because of the demand, I don't know. But one thing I have noticed, you know, just talking to people here, is that there are a lot of people who didn't start as journalists and started out as teachers, or, you know, lawyers or mathematicians or doctors, and have then gone into journalism. And I'm not sure how much of that goes on in Australia. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying that it doesn't seem to be such a well-trod path as it is here in the UK.
And it's interesting you say that, because one of the complaints that I get as a manager of an RPH station is the dreadfully poor quality of print journalism at the moment. Sub-editing particularly, there are grammatical errors, there are spelling errors, there are printing errors, all sorts of errors. And yet, as you say, the requirements for even a basic job in journalism are so high, and yet they're not being reflected in what the public is actually seeing.
No, I think that's absolutely true. It's not being reflected in what the public's seeing. And I think part of the problem there, kind of working at the moment as I am on the BBC News website, working with the magazine, I see just how quickly it's expected and the pressure that's put on these journalists to turn stuff around because of the 24-hour news cycle, because of social media, because of the, you know, live pages, updates, all of those things put incredible pressure. And so much does fall through the cracks. It really, really does. So I think that is one reason why that's happening. I know there are spell checkers. I realise that. My hope is that at some point I will be able to come home. I love living in London. But, you know, as my parents get older and, you know, family changes, it would be nice to think that I could come home with the experience that I've gained and be able to get a job working within journalism or radio within Australia. It does feel sometimes a bit claustrophobic to think that might not happen. So, you know, I am hoping that maybe I'll start applying for jobs at the ABC, but, you know, I am hoping that things will change and attitudes will change and it will be seen as a good thing to reflect the diversity, you know, and the experience that people with disabilities can bring to something, to a profession like journalism. Not just because I want a job, but because I think that it's a really useful and powerful thing to have.
And that was part two of our conversation with Lee Kumutat. Now, don't forget that coming up on the 30th of April is that all-important forum for New South Wales members. And I've been asked to let you know, in case you didn't already, that there are teleconference facilities available. If you'd like more information, get in touch with Leah and her staff, and they'll be delighted to help you with that. Not only that, but the communication survey closes on the 30th of April. So you've still got a couple of weeks to get in there and fill that out so that BCA can be better informed on the way that we run the communications, such as New Horizons, Blind Citizens News, and also the email list, etc. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company this week. New Horizons is the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia, and Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted by phone on 1800 033 660 or by email bca@bca.org.au. Take care until next week.
We'll achieve the realization of a dream. Of our dreams.